रेडी भाई? किस
रेडी रेडी।
में करना है, हिंदी में, इंग्लिश में, गुजराती में? मतलब ये कंफर्टेबल है,
आई थिंक लेट्स डू इट इन इंग्लिश।
इंग्लिश में करना है। यार सही, अबे
लैंग्वेज का खिचड़ी होने ही वाला, बट लेट्स सी।
यार, व्हाट एवर इज कंफर्टेबल विल गो। ओके, जरूरत नहीं है अभी कर रहे हैं खिचड़ी। सो हे भाई, आइस ब्रेक करें? लेट्स ब्रेक द आइस।
यस।
ओके, आर यू अ पीपल प्लीजर और अ रिस्क टेकर?
People pleaser and risk taker. I think bit of both, because the industry that I am in, you need to be liked by people to be on set. If you have a personality that people doesn't like, then nobody's gonna want to bring you on set. So it's like you have to have that personality to network with people where you need to like people. But I don't go above and beyond like pleasing people. So in that term, I have known to be professionally like raise my opinion when things are not right. If it's a school, if it's a professional work environment, I always bring out if there is an issue. So it's a bit of both.
This is a diplomatic answer. Who are you?
I don't know who I am.
So what do you prefer? You like to please people or you like straightforward?
Straightforwardness is more inclined because, yeah. Also, being a person of color, it's like if I'm trying pleasing people, it's like we are going backwards of what people has fight for. So, yeah.
Agreed. How was your journey so far from back home to here, Canada?
Back home to Canada, it was interesting, very eye-opening journey, because when I was in India, I had not thought a lot in terms of like practically what life is. I was very naive. It's like that early teenager or teenager, what we think, what I want to achieve and what I want to do in life, that is what I had thought. But when I moved here, it changed my life in terms of thinking from the different perspective. And if I would like break down year by year, when I recently moved to Canada, I was studying animation program. And on the side, I was working part-time. So back home in India, I was able to do full concentration on my studies. Whereas here, I had to juggle with balancing work as well as study. So my focus kind of shifted a little bit in terms of making sure that I was also responsible to pay this rent, food bill, everything. Whereas my fees were taken care of for primarily first few terms through my parents. But rest, I was responsible because now they helped me initially. Now they cannot help me for everything. And that is where it's like finding what practically is possible and not. And I was not able to concentrate fully on my studies because I was making money. I needed to make money to have a roof over my head and have food. So because of that, it changed my perspective in terms of life is not that easy. Whereas in terms of when you think if you work hard, everything falls into your place, but it's not always like that. Then I have personal need of finding, and I wanted to get a permanent residency. So that led a decision of working as in restaurant, the same restaurant I was used to work part-time. I was used to work at, I started as from a kitchen cook. Then I promoted as a team leader, then supervisor. And by the time I was graduating, there was an opening of a restaurant manager. So I applied it because that was the only viable option I saw within my personal goal of getting a permanent residency within 3 years of stay I had in Canada. If I would have tried finding anything within animation field, the options I had available was like unpaid internships. And even in that, the hours were not guaranteed that I would have the required hours. So there was no security and guarantee in term of anything that CIC considered as an experience. So I'm like, okay, the only option I have, which is a good option, is a restaurant manager. So I took that opportunity, and I was so glad to have taken that opportunity, because I learned the perspective of a business, how to handle business, how to train people, all the nitty-gritty detail of the paperwork, everything. And I, that is where I learned that my mind is very entrepreneurial, and I think from very business mind, and I have a very business mindset of anything and everything I approach. So from there, I was working, got my permanent residency right during pandemic. And during pandemic, I'm like, what I'm doing with my life? This is not the dream I had when I was back home in India. So reevaluating my life, it was like a very, very dark thought I was going through when I was in pandemic. It's like, if something were to happen to me, how people would remember me? And I didn't like the image that I had, like my personal resume, life resume I had, that is, I was not happy with that, because that is not, I was passionate when I was young. So that is when I decided to join film school. And from film school, I learned all aspect of different business and different area of filmmaking. And a year later, here I am talking to you.
Thank you for doing this, by the way. Were you passionate, like when you were younger, you were passionate about films, or how did this film came up?
My dad is a photographer. So I had knew the business of capturing moments behind the camera from the perspective of film, from the perspective of photography, because he's a photographer. He had a studio, but I hated his life, because the kind of hours, it's like very, very non-9-to-5. And there was time where I would not see my dad. My dad would come to full home when I'm already asleep, and he would have already left before even we wake up. So it's like he would take like 3-4 hours of sleep or 5 hours sleep. And that is what his lifestyle was. So I'm like, I don't want that kind of a lifestyle. But little did I know about myself that it's dragging me in the same creative field, and that, yeah. So when I was a kid, I had passion for certain filmmaking. It always inspired me, and I wanted to become part of the process of capturing those moments, or capturing certain films or certain scenes that just inspired me. But I never had the courage. So that pandemic thing, I'm like, okay, I've got to make at least one attempt. So that if I'm 40 and 50 years old, I don't want to say I wish I would have tried it. I didn't want to say that to myself when I turn old. So that is what...
That was a breaking point for you?
Yeah.
If you pick your dream project, what would be that film that you would love to be a part of it?
A dream project. It would be a period classical Indian cinema with forming all different...
if you can name any.
Movie?
Yeah.
One of the movie I loved watching when I was young was Devdas. It was filled with color. And the music, I'm not kind of person would listen to that classical music or something like that, but that is what my dad loved, like a classical form of music. So he was used to play classical musics when... during the morning. So it's like I got a hang of it, but my mind is very, very creative. If I see anything artistic, I just fell in love with those things, because I also draw and I also create art, visual art and everything. So when I saw that movie, each image felt like a painting, you know? So that is the movie that that inspired me, that I want to create something like that.
So whatever we learn back home, do you inculcate those things when you create movies here or no?
Definitely, yes.
I'm not saying 100% you have to, but that do you do like certain way, like has that Indian touch that we call it? Do you do that in your stories?
So far, I have to explore more because the only project I've worked as short form project. But one thing, if Indian or not, it depends on project. It depends on project by project. I had worked on one Indian project. So the character was an Indian, and there was a certain... When I received a script, it was a student project, acting thesis project. So when I saw the script, everything was in English. But when I saw actor, when we did a table read, I realized we need more Indian context for the character. We need to bring out those Indianness. So there was a point, at, you know, those situations where character is cursing. And I'm like, you would be cursing in Hindi. Your Hindi would come out when you're cursing. I don't think you would be cursing in English. Your Indianness should come out at the right point when that thing is happening. So it's like you bring out the things that you're familiar with. Because at the end of the day, you want to make anything that feels more natural and not very made up.
What was it, a cultural shock for you?
A cultural shock was, I was not prepared to be treated differently because of my skin color. That, because in India, yes, skin tone and brightness has its own existence in beauty standard, but not in term of anything else or the treatment of people. So that was something which was very, very shocking to me, especially if you work in customer service. You are going to be experiencing racism, micro racism on every little incident.
And they say Canada is not racist.
Well, I don't know. I have experienced racism.
So did I. I think everyone does.
Yeah.
The original, like, no matter where you're from, no matter how old, long you've been living there, if you're not from there, you're not from there. You just can't be there.
Yeah.
That's what I feel.
Because you look different, you have a different skin color, and you start speaking, you have a different accent. So it automatically makes people think. And you can't believe how many times in customer service, a random stranger is asking, where are you from? They don't even want to know who I am. The first question is, where are you from? I'm like, why is that first question? That you just are interested where I came from? And it's like, even if I have been living here 7-8 years, and after I have received a residency, my status is now Canadian. So when I say I'm Canadian, and there was no, where are you originally from? If I try like brushing that question under the table, but they would ask another question. So yeah, that has been a very, very big challenge. In terms of everybody experience racism here.
Is it still on? Like, do you still have that awkwardness when people ask that? Or no?
Yeah. Especially as, for example, I'm not going to name lots of detail about the production, but I had walked into one set. They were filming, it was a commercial set, and other than me and another PA, everybody was white. So instantly, I felt extremely uncomfortable to be just by myself, because it also puts pressure under you that you are also representing somebody, your community, because you look different. And if you behave certain way, they are going to have the same image for the entire community and not just you as a person. So it's yes, in terms of that. And you also receive a different kind of a pressure, even if it's a said or unsaid, but yes.
The film industry is crazy. We have to be crazy enough to be here.
Yeah.
But anything crazy you want to name?
Crazy in terms of it was fun crazy?
Doesn't matter.
So last year, I went to one of the set that was in Hamilton. I found out then kicked through Facebook. It was right after I had freshly graduated school. So they were looking for art PAs, and it was for one of the TV series, reality show. And they were filming in Hamilton. And I'm like, okay, I have nothing going on. It's a reality TV. It would be fun opportunity to be on that set, which is gigantic production. And when I went there, it was very, very amazing. It was a crazy shoot. One of the incident that keeps in my mind is there was a one challenge. So it was a reality and they had a different challenges. So one of the challenge was on the land, they had created targets and the plane would fly by and contestants are in the plane and they would have to target those target from the from above from the plane to the ground. And me as an RPA had to work on that building that target, and they had certain numbers,
It was like fear factors, kind of a thing.
So from that, I was working as an RPA on the ground. So they had created those target, and then from the target, they on both sides they had created different distance, that it's this much distance, this much distance. And I remember we literally running because we were trying to catch up with the time with the plane, which was in the airport, which was a little bit far where we were working on. So I remember my all the legs and my shoes were wet because it was rainy day, and I was running, and the people are screaming, "Run faster, run faster." I was out of breath. And they were like, "You gotta come back because plane is coming," because they wanted to maintain a certain safe distance. So back and forth running, that is the experience I remember. And never I thought in film industry I would be doing something like that.
Would
So
you like to do it again?
yes, I would do
Same
it.
thing.
Yes, it was lots of fun.
Talking about your short film, tell us any behind the scenes incident that we don't know about. As I was not a part of it, you shot it before I even met you. But yeah, tell us about that.
One of the crazy incidents, I shot it at my house.
What is it called again?
It's called A.
Yeah, and it's running all over the festivals right now.
Yes, so
Yes.
recently started. So last month, it got a world premiere in Arizona Film Festival, which was, so it was a first premiere. And this month, it premiered last week in Mumbai, Kashish Pride Film Festival. And I have one other premiere in Pune, which is in the following week. So I'm excited about that.
Tell us anything that we don't know.
The crazy incident. So apparently I shot it at my house, and I was not aware that landlord has scheduled some sort of renovation. So at that day we were shooting day one. Half of the shoot went in, and after that, there was some sort of renovation they needed to do, which was for fire safety reason. They needed to replace all the doors. So lots of banging, lots of loud noise. That was one of the crazy thing that happened, which I never thought that is gonna happen. But luckily, it was just all friends, so we managed it, and we were able to find way to like we were able to find a way to manage with whatever the craziness was happening along with the renovation and shooting. So yeah, but apparently I had to do everything ADR because of the sound, and also there was lots of issue with the because I didn't had lavs. We didn't use lav, we only used boom.
Nice.
And that was not very clean audio. Also, I had lots of exterior scenes as well. So again, it was way too loud when exterior scenes were happening because there was on the street garbage pickup was happening for the exterior scenes. I can hear that as well as the dialogue.
I
Yeah.
get it. So last week we went on a shoot that was crazy as hell outside. Worst shoot ever. Don't want to name that, but yeah, worst shoot ever. If like right now you have three film fests premiere, right? If given opportunity, if you need to change something on your film, what would have if you have to, then what would it
On the current cut,
Yes.
I sit with this cut. I took like a year to make this cut, And at a point now, I don't want to say that I want to change anything.
You want to film it certain.
I would start with the different writing. One of this was my first ever short film that I directed as in director. And I learned through my mistake importance of writing. Because as the people say, fix it in post. You cannot fix writing in post.
Talking about writing, when you write stories, you come up with each and every dialogues. Because I'm bad at writing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go detail. I can think of and imagine some kind of situation.
Yeah.
What do you do about it?
In terms of dialogue?
In terms of dialogues, like what's your writing process?
My writing process still is in development.
Still, whatever.
But the way I would like is, I like creating character beat sheets in detail. So that when I'm deciding what dialogues I want to write for each character, I want to make it more organic what that character would say in that character trail. Because each character has a different personality. I want to give the personality through the dialogues. And it's important for me to have that. Otherwise, every character is going to sound same. So that is what I would build, like I have done, like building character beat sheets, making different character, different personalities, and from there building, working on dialogues. But I don't think I'm an expert on be answering this because I'm very bad at writing.
Let's say three film directors you want to have a dinner date, who would you pick, dead or alive?
The first one would be Sanjay Leela Bhansali.
Why?
Because I'm very, very deep-rooted in terms of culture. I want to make ensemble or anything that is very deep-rooted in culture. And he's one of the best person bringing culture best possible way on screen. And I want to bring Indian culture on international cinema because Indian culture has so much vibrance and it's so vibrant and it has so much stories. And that is what I want to bring out to the international platform. So if I get opportunity to talk to him, that would be wonderful. Other person... Satyajit Ray, he is very, very classical.
Agreed.
Indian cinema is all foundation of Indian cinema. So that would be him. Rabindranath Tagore, he's known for his stories. All three Indian names for some reason.
Agreed.
Because that is where my my focus is on Indian cinema. That is what my familiarity is to begin with. Yes, I may start dabbling into different international stories, but I want to start with something that is familiar to me and something I feel more passionate about.
So you come from West, but your touch is towards East. Like I'm a East boy grown up in West. So three names you took, it's all mostly they're somehow related to Bengal.
Yeah. And Sanjay Leela Bhansali has like a Gujarati
touch, but he started with Devdas, which is what well known for. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a Bengali movie kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, nice.
Interesting. I had never thought about it.
Okay, as a director, you've directed one short film, aware about it.
Mm-hmm.
But as a director, how would you choose any personal or social topic to bring it on your film? Like, what kind of topic would you bring it on your film? How would you decide that?
So anything, as for example, the short film that I directed, produced... had a personal connection. It's very important if it has a social or personal connection. That means you are going to be automatically aware about the issue and it is going to come from the space of awareness. And because representation matters a lot. So if you are presenting something, it's very, very important to be well-researched and well aware about the severity of whatever you're representing. As for example, my short film character has a severe depression. I have felt depression. I had known I had depression in my life. So for me, it was not unfamiliar space for that character to explore. So it is very important that anybody that chooses anything that is socially sensitive or anything like that, it's very important for me to make sure that if I'm not part of that process or I'm not familiar with that world, I would consult people to make sure that I'm not misrepresenting something that is not there. Because I come from Indian cinema, and Indian cinema plays very gigantic role in terms of educating people as well. That does not so much exist in West, because people has more resources and everything. But in that is how my mind functions. And as well as being a person of color, I don't have a lot of trial and error to do. And show business, if your image is ruined, it's ruined. So it's very, very important to be very cautious when handling sensitive subjects.
Talking about depression, if you don't mind, you don't have to answer it.
Yeah.
But how did you came out of it? What was the process?
Process depression. So now that I think back, it started when I was back home in India, where I remember precisely I was in grade 11 or 12, something like that. I didn't want to meet anybody. I didn't have any friends. I didn't had passion to do anything. The only two things I was doing is watching TV and eating. Now that I'm thinking that, okay, those were the sign of depression, because I didn't had passion or even curiosity to do anything. Imagine teenager not having a passion to do anything. That was my life.
That's me in 11th and 12th. I'm sorry, not making fun out of it, but seriously, that's me, literally.
But that is what that has happened. But the severity of more of it happened when I was here. And the way I overcome it with just lots of self-realization and trying to be positive towards life and towards accepting everything and anything that was thrown at me. And I don't think I had access to, or I don't think, let me correct, I don't think I was aware of the resources that were available in Canada for anybody who is going through depression. So if anybody is going through depression, there's lots of free resources that is available. Now I'm aware of those resources. But at that time, I was not aware of it. I just self-dealt with it, like self-therapized myself, kind of. And also, being a person of color and immigrant, I had lots of pressure that I had made myself, like, I need to achieve this, or I need to have this, that by this time or by that period. But then I decided I let it go. If things happen, things happen. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So lots of self-therapizing in terms of self-accepting flaws, which was not there before. So that is what something I learned, and that is how I overcome. I don't know if it's fully gone or gone, because it's like it always stays in and out with you in a journey. So,
You know, there was a point in my life, like a few years back, I had everyone with me. I wasn't happy going out with them and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know, happiness, like people are enjoying right beside me. I am with my friends and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I was not happy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened with me. And people are like, you have changed. I'm like, I don't know. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I have no one to answer. And so that circle left. And I have a new circle now. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they left.
Left for the good only time.
I don't care if they watch, but yeah, I'm glad they left. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I realized at that point of time that it's better to have, I dealt with, I'm not sure it was depression. They call it depression. Mm-hmm. If it's depression, it's depression. I dealt it by myself. I didn't have any therapy and everything. I think this, what do you think? This depression and everything came after, like, it's in modern era. It wasn't back then before. Like, back in India, if we are going through this dull situation, anything, we have so many people around to talk, we forget about those things. It's only in this Western country. This is what I feel. Okay. It's my opinion, I would say. Yeah, this Western countries, what I have seen is, I've come across, like, people are very alone. They have no one to talk to. No matter socializing, talking to friends, but when they go back home, they're alone. So we don't have that back home. So depression back home is, it's barely anything, like, very minimum percentage. I would say 10%, let's say, is right now it's increasing because we are modernizing, like, we are taking the Western culture and getting separated and living alone. What do you think about that?
I think there's lots of uneducation or unawareness exist in India. Because as for example, when I was going through that phase where I didn't wanted to meet anybody, I was happy staying at home with my parents. But those were signs of depression. And that was not known to me. That was not known to my parents. Even I don't even think I have told my parents that I think that was my depression phase where I didn't wanted to meet anybody, didn't wanted to do anything. So there is lots of unawareness that exist that now people have started talking about it. So I don't think it doesn't exist more in Indian society, but it does exist. And there is one thing I think I know what you're trying to mention. It's like there's lots of people to talk about because Indian society is so integral and people are so nosy in other lives. They want to know everything that is happening in your life. So it's like, okay, you're feeling like those aunt and uncle. They want to know everything.
So either you deal with depression or deal with them.
Yeah.
I miss that thing, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you miss back home?
Yes, I do miss back home, especially during the time of celebration, because all the different cultural celebration India celebrates with it's all of its glory. So all the occasions, I would be visiting family members, and it's a different event altogether. And that culturally doesn't exist here because we are minority in Western countries. So certain culture, like certain celebrations are recognized like Diwali, but there's so many different celebrations that we don't see and celebrate. And I miss, like, when I talk to my parents back home with the Holi and all of that, it just brings back all those memories of different events. And yeah, so
what's your end goal? You want to be here?
Lots of people have asked me that, but I would say I will go where work opportunity takes me. I'm open for all the possibility.
That's a good one. So from back home, when people come, they mostly have a target that I want to be a PR and I want a work permit and I want to become a citizenship.
Yeah.
What was your thing?
I definitely wanted a permanent residency minimum because as an international student, I paid so much in tuition fee, which is like multiple 4 to 5 times than what a domestic person is paying. On top of that, domestic persons also get OSAP. So they are not paying, not a single person is paying 100% in tuition, but I'm paying 5 to 6 times more than that. So if I am investing that much money within 2 years of stay, in addition, I'm paying for rent. In addition, I'm paying for all the different utilities. I'm putting so much money into Canadian economy. So what my goal was, I need minimum permanent residency for me to able to establish something of myself and explore different and navigate different employment opportunities. Because I have invested so much physically, emotionally, and money-wise, invested so much in the country that I want to get something out of it. I want an opportunity to be able to do something in the country. So that was my minimum goal, was a permanent residency, that I want a safety net where I want to do something where I would not be pressured by the time limit or anything like that. So my minimum goal was permanent residency. And after that, I have options where there is no time limit. Once I get permanent residency, I'm not bounded by the time limit. Like, I have to achieve this within 5 years or something like that. I have different options within different timeline. What is your goal?
My goal? I never had this kind of thing. I just came here to study.
Okay.
And then things flow. And I'm still here. I don't want to stay here. I want to go back. But things are not happening as I'm planning.
Mm-hmm.
So I came in 2016, just came here to study. My plan was never to take any work permit, never to take BRs. Things just flowed and I'm still here. And yeah, I want to initially, if I think now, my target is to go back in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, that might not happen. I am not sure. But yeah, so far, yeah.
Any such thing as luck goes?
My life runs the other way around, though. Whatever I manifest doesn't happen. The other thing does. But yeah,
think about the other thing. Of whatever you want, think about other, manifest for other thing. So that you would, that happens what you are not.
But I feel if things doesn't happen according to your plan, then it's happening, it's better for you.
Yeah.
Then there is a bigger plan for you.
That is what I have learned. Like, I have learned more from the failure things in my life. Those certain experiences has changed my life. Whenever I have failed in a very big way, it has changed significantly. And failurity, lots of people underestimate, but it's like a very big learning curve.
Failure is your best teacher.
Yeah.
And I'm the biggest failure. I failed in all. I started failing in school. And no shame. I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
And I didn't repeat any classes, but I failed. I was like last guy from the thing. Talking about grades, what about your 10th and 12th grades? How much did you score? And does that grade matter to you today?
I have a story for you for talking on the failure and success. So in grade 10, I studied, you know how the open, it's like a board exam.
Yes.
So you don't have to necessarily go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically was attending all the tuition classes, but not attending the regular school, and studied basically only 1 month for my grade 10, and I scored 77%. So that made me think, if I can just study 1 month and can score 77, and why not join Science Stream instead of another? But originally I wanted Art Stream, but art is a very creative field and it doesn't give a financial security. And that is where my mind was going. And also, I was unaware of lots of different job aspects of what stream can get you what kind of job. So at that time, I relied on lots of other family members who were recommending you should do this. And that is what I did. I joined Science Stream based on the recommendations given to me. I'm not going to blame anybody because that I asked them. I don't think I was aware of the different options. And based on that, grade 11, I barely passed because I was not focusing too much on study. And that was what the phase was with the depression and not having lots of goals in my life. I failed grade 12. And when I failed grade 12, that is when I was also planning to go to US. So it's like my entire dream shattered of what I was planning. And another attempt I did, so I kept on going to IELTS examination and for their tuition classes, and I wanted to just pass grade 12 in the second attempt, but apparently, again, my focus was not on grade 12. I was focusing more on IELTS exam than what I should be focusing on. So again, I failed grade 12, and that, it's like I should have learned it in the first time. But I didn't. I learned it in the second time. And that is where it was a failure that kicked in me. And in Indian society, if you failed an examination, people see you very differently. They would treat you very differently. You're stupid. If you fail grade 12, you're stupid in their eyes. It just changes how people treats you. And I hated that persona of me being a stupid person because I had more potential that I knew. So that kick in happened after second failure because I was so sure I had a plan that I'm gonna go to US and I'm gonna work so hard. But that just shattered because there was no other option for me left other than staying in India. So based on grade 10th result, I got into diploma in computer engineering. I studied so fucking goddamn hard. I was ranking first in every single term. At the extent when I was graduating program, so it's like, Gujarat board, all the students, it's like 25,000 graduates are happening. And out of that, I was in top five. So I changed my persona and people started treating me differently. They started asking me for advice and I'm like,
I'm the same failure.
I'm the same person. I had the same potential and everything. It's just my focus diverted of how I was focusing on everything. And that is now that I think back of what we were discussing, there's also lots of uneducation happens in Indian education system. There's a learning disabilities. I'm pretty sure I have ADHD. Because the way I change of how I was studying and self-preparing, I was like used to highlight every keyword in the sentences. I was used to write when I was trying to memorize. I was used to write things on my wall using chalk and duster. There was lots of notes on my board so that I could see it more than one time so that I can memorize and can remember because it was difficult for me to remember things. And now that I talk to people and they were like, this sounds like an ADHD trail of your learning disability. It takes more time for me to learn something or even names, learning names, lots of things. So it's like even that aspect exists in Indian society that we need more education in terms of learning disabilities. Not every child is stupid. It's just they have a different way of adapting and learning that people need to learn.
Taking the same topic, coming back to Canada, tell me the hardest thing or the and set that you want to quit, but you didn't. And how did you overcome it? So you were so pissed off that you couldn't work anymore, but you still did. Like, how did you overcome it? And what was it?
I approach people, have conversations, and it is trial and error. Through my when I was used to work in a restaurant business, I was working as a supervisor. I was used to work as a manager, so there was examples of bad communication where I was used to talk to direct upper management that this is what is happening, and the way they dealt it increased the complexity between me and that person instead of resolving it. So I knew how one-on-one conversation would be beneficial. So it's also something that I learned being part of a learning process as in training process of a manager where how to deal with certain situations, certain personalities. So on one of the set, I was working with one person and that person was bringing a very different personality. Let's just say different personality. So I had to pull that person on side and just talk to them how that person is making me feel in that situation, and aware, and make sure that person is aware that what are the reciprocation and what other people are feeling, and instantly that person just changed, and made sure that nobody else is feeling that way. So I personally feel having conversation solves everything. I still have not met anybody stubborn where if I'm saying anything, they are not changing anything. I don't think I have seen that. But one of the things that I know about myself is mental health takes priority. And if I ever come across that kind of situation, I was just left. because I don't want to be in a situation where it's mentally exhausting and challenging, which gonna affect my mental health. I would just leave that set. What the worst is gonna happen? Because they were the bad. I have a story as well. If they said that person just left, so unprofessional. I have my side of the story to tell as well.
Digging deep into your mind. Let's see. Give me a bizarre inspiration you had and you would like to make a film on it.
Bizarre, bizarre. It's not a bizarre, bizarre, but it was a story and a concept I developed in script class. So, an 8-year-old man receives a phone call from a beauty seller. It's like set in like those 90s time where that old man doesn't speak English language. And it's like there is a language barrier between both of those person. And it's a funny incident that I had an idea about that character. And the way story ends, at the end, there's so much makeup on doorstep of 80-year-old man. Yeah. But I have lots of idea, but nothing. It's like it's interesting, something that I would want to watch. I would not necessarily say bizarre, bizarre. There are other things that were influenced by real incidents. So I think there is a documentary already on that. There was an Indian family who was trying to travel from Canada to US. They were trying to pass border, and unfortunately they died during winter. There was so much storm, so they were trying to pass that. So I wanted to know why. And not only the parents made that decision, they had two kids as well. And all four of them died in that winter storm. So that was something that was very, very shocking. But at the same time, I want to know why. So something like that, it's like, yes, it's a story of person of color and very bizarre, but I would like to know why. I may watch a documentary. There's a documentary on it, so I probably would watch it. What about you?
Me, bizarre ideas?
Mm.
No, I love horror stuff, so I want to create something horrifying. That's the one of the horrifying movie like that really scared me was Conjuring. Before that, everything was a joke. Like, if you remember, like back in India when we were there, like in 2013 onwards, there was in Discovery there was a series called Haunting or something. Yeah, I'm not sure if you have watched it or that, but
I don't remember.
yeah, there's House Haunting or something like that. And then in Hindi there was this episodes called Ahad,
Yes, I
Phir Koi
remember
Hai kind of thing. And that yeah, when I was a kid I used to get scared of dark.
that.
But everything like I am scared of, I want to do that thing more. So as I grew up, I just started punching all those things out, and like yeah, that's what who I want to be.
Never would have thought. I would have imagined something comedy because you like doing stand-up comedy.
Yes, that's who I am. Like I live my life in free. I'm a free guy. I don't like anyone
That sounds
pushing
very
me.
terrible. I'm a free guy.
Not that way. Maybe it depends. Depends who's asking, but yeah. Yeah, I'm a fun-loving guy. I don't like to take stress and everything. It's not my thing. No matter what stress, I'll deal with it. I'm the one who have to deal with it. So why taking stress? I'm like, no point. I enjoy my life. I live in moment, and yeah, I just feel free and yeah, enjoy it. Fuck, man, I don't care about it. I have one life. I don't want to waste my time in stressing out things that will be solved eventually, if not sooner than later, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
I take stress for every little
No, I used
thing.
to
I
be like
cannot
that.
for
I
some
used to be like
but
that.
for some reason I just cannot control. I want so much from my life and so much from myself that it's just automatically stress so, just kicks in.
So I used to be exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized things are getting solved and I am the one who's solving it.
Mm-hmm.
So why taking stress? Then I just switched off the stress button.
Let's change the topic. Therapy with Ronit.
Deliberately doing this to listen to their stories. One piece of advice, if you have to give to your younger self, what would it be?
Learn to love yourself. Because self-acceptance is one of the most important thing. Even the trails that you don't like, that is part of a personality. We are not robots. So we are not going to be perfect. So loving yourself is one of the things I would recommend my younger one.
What is the biggest myth about film industry that you would like to debunk?
Biggest myth? I don't know. Biggest myth.
Before coming in the film industry, you had this perception of something.
Mm-hmm.
When you came in the industry, you saw that's different. But people still think that's that.
I don't talk to lots of people. So,
I don't know. Okay, talk about your personal experience.
Tricky question, because now I'm trying to rethink about my life and what I was used to think about film industry. But for the film industry, I had no knowledge. That is why, what is the reason I decided to join film industry to begin with. Because I wanted to educate myself about the industry. And one of the things that lots of people are talking about, that there's so much money in the industry. And now I'm ready to work. I'm like, where is the work? I don't want to go on unpaid work. I want to be paid for what I'm doing. And that is one of the things people might be thinking, it's a very glamorous industry, lots of money. But when you look at actuality, it has a lot to do with the fame. If you're famous, you would be making money left and right. But otherwise, it's a very, very challenging and demanding industry, especially for right now. Time is very, very bad for creative field with the introduction of artificial intelligence penetrating into the industry of a creative field, and it's an unknown world. So lots of jobs are going away, taken by AI. I would say that is one of the most, people think that there's lots of money, people would be making lots of money, but yeah, it's a very, very, all the time you have to find work. Is what I would say people don't think about too much. Yeah.
So it's
like, have you thought of anything about industry? What is your debunk story?
Me? I before coming to industry, I never knew that there are so many retakes. And they can take days and days. I'm like, one shot, say it and leave it. That's what I thought. But now, that, yeah, because I used to just watch movies, sit in my couch like this and eat and watch movies. Yeah, that's who I was.
Yeah.
And I still watch it. Mm-hmm. It's not I'm blaming, but yeah. Coming in the industry, how things are made,
mm-hmm.
It's everything is new for me. I never had any experience. So my dad used to do photography as well,
mm-hmm.
but not professionally.
Okay.
But he was the one photographer we had in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the family photographer for us. And he used like, whatever pictures I have are clicked by him.
Mm-hmm.
We have less pictures of him. We have more pictures of us because he clicked them.
Yes.
I think I got that from him. Mm-hmm. And that's and exploring my thing in films. I'm combining both of them. So his talent and my knowledge.
Do you think you're exploring your dad's passion that would able to?
My dad, I don't think so. He wanted to be in films, maybe. I'm not sure.
Not film, but because he was
behind the camera. I got his talents from behind the camera. I'm using my knowledge for films,
mm-hmm.
and I'm combining both of them, and I'm being here. So I got the talent from him, mm-hmm. obviously. And now he is. Yeah, very good. So in few years, you'll be a famous director and everything, right?
Absolutely. I don't want to say, I would say no comments.
From now? Because, whoa, so because. Much attitude.
I would say, Ronit, I need this much money for the next podcast.
Okay. I'm ready. Okay, finishing my question.
Mm-hmm.
So, once you're well-known and everything, what would you more focus on? Would you go on commercial success or would you stick to your authenticity?
Again, I would have to say balance of both is very, very important. Unless if my fame has an option to only focus on authenticity. There are directors who creates and makes movies or television, anything, purely based on what their vision is. Because they have established audience, they know, the financier knows that people are going to watch it. There is an audience because they are a fan of the work of the director. So if I have that option, I would go towards authenticity. But more practicality, financier likes to know what people are watching. So commercial aspect does take place whenever the money is in the talk. So if it's my money, then I would be focusing on the authenticity. But still, if it's my money, I would need a return. That's how I'm like a money-minded. Like, it's a very, very practical aspect. But if I had to choose between commercial and authenticity, I might choose commercial because of that business-minded aspect of mine. Yeah. Balance of both is important, but commercial ability of actually what people want to see versus what you want to make. It can be something, you know, those lots of 100 people say, make something that you would want to watch. And it's like, is it the only person you are going to watch? But the actuality, you are making something for the audience. And as for example, if you are making a film, there is a language to it. The audience wants to see certain things from a film. They expect certain things from a film. And yeah.
Talking about expectations, what kind of traits do you like in a person? A like or dislike? Like and dislike.
Traits like and dislike.
So for me, let's start with me. I like people who value time.
Mm-hmm.
I dislike people who are fake.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if the fakest person in the world would be when everybody likes him and there is no haters. He's the fakest person, I would say. Like, if you're being yourself, there would be people hating you. But if you have no one hating you, then you're the fakest person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's my like and dislike.
In the personality, I personally feel it depends on what person we are talking about. If it's a friendship, it's a different expectations. If
general.
It's a professional.
General.
If it's a general onset, I don't like people not respecting the set in general. As for example, they don't care if set, like the role is going on and they would be just talking or something like that, or they would be not on set, not understanding the importance of their role and responsibility towards it and taking things lightly. Yeah, so it's just irresponsibility in general within a person, not just in work, but just irresponsible that affects others, not just themselves. If it affects just only you, be irresponsible in your life. But if it starts affecting others, in term of that aspect, yes, that is something I don't like.
So I have that trait that you dislike.
What?
Just be yourself. taking things lightly.
No, like taking things lightly, if it doesn't affect anybody else, there's nothing wrong in it. You have to take things lightly for yourself. But as for example, if you're on set and if you are being irresponsible where it start affecting other people and you're literally putting set on hold where people have to find you or something like that, then yes, that would make me very, very...
Tell me any of your habits that you would like to change.
Habits. I need to be more self-organized.
You're already organized. Cell phone.
No, in terms of my daily routines. My sleeping cycle is built all over the place, but it's also when you work in the industry, it's like difficult because you don't have 9-to-5 job. But in that, and as well as one habit I want to change is I should start signing up more in terms of educating myself more about the positions and the career that I want to go, and not just something that either I'm good at or what people think I'm good at. So that is one of the things I want to change.
So you're going to be in the
film industry? Yeah, film industry, but I have a different focus on what positions I'm working on and versus what I actually should be focusing on. So those...
So currently, you are a writer, director, producer, and a script supervisor. What would you like to be in future? What would you like to call yourself?
My long-term goal is director and then producer, is what my goal is. But navigating those two titles is a big ladder to climb. That is where I want to start educating myself in terms of when it comes to financing. I have a lot in my head that I want to do, but I'm not actually reading all the agreements and educating myself about the labor laws and everything that I should be aware of. So I want to start shifting my focus in terms of educating myself more into that realm. For directing, it's difficult to navigate because, I don't know anything about that. So from that aspect, I don't think I want to change anything.
Any of your habits that you're proud of?
Habits I'm proud of? Creativity, I think. That, because that just makes me feel at home. Doesn't matter if it's a painting, visual art, or directing, or filmmaking in general, but creativity is just one of the passion and habit I have ever since I was a kid. And I don't think art has left my world. Doesn't matter if even I don't remember my childhood or anything without art. I was always attached to that world and that habit. And what about you? Habit that you want to work on and something that you are proud of?
Wow, so many things. Just being myself.
Just so amazing.
Proud of, I'm proud that I follow my instincts. I barely go with anybody's word. I might listen to everyone, but I do what I feel it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I fail, maybe I don't. But if I fail, then it's on my terms.
Exactly.
And I have no one else to blame but me. But that's I'm learning from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've made a lot of mistakes, and I'm learning. So that's. I don't think failure is the end. I think that's the new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I have felt more in life. So whatever I am, the way I am, the way I behave, is all that failures that have taught me. So I was a serious guy before, but I don't want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to remember me as a jolly and fun-loving guy. But serious guys are like, they go and pass by, nobody notices them. That's my
thing. Yeah.
I want to spread happiness in the world.
Mm-hmm.
In no matter what way, if I'm around, I want people to just have fun. If they can make fun of me, I don't care. I'm like, I used to, not anymore. I'm like, you can laugh at me. If I'm the reason you're laughing, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, you point at me and do something. I just want to spread smiles. So that's
great.
Yeah, that's one of the art. That's it. Okay, Mr. Kalpit Patel.
Yes.
Tell me one thing. When people pronounce your name wrong, how agitated are you?
Not at all.
Not any words?
Because it's difficult to pronounce my name. So if I have gotten used to it. People call me Kalpit.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that. Call me Kalpit. It's like I'm appreciating their attempt of calling me by my full name. Instead, I have came across lots of people. Can I just call him Kel? They are making up a shorter name for me. And I'm like, okay. That is what agitates me, when they want to change my name shorter. So if they mispronounce my name, Kalpit, or something different, I'm okay with that, because they're making attempt to pronounce my name the way it is. But when they start taking it as in grant that, okay, can I just call you at this name? If, let's say, I gave them option that where they are trying to register and I'm saying, okay, I'm seeing that person clearly struggling. So I would just say, you can call me Cal, but just short. But they coming up with their own short name and short version for my name, that is what it agitates me.
I did the same thing. I used to go by my last name, which is Roy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easier for this Western people to understand and call.
Yeah.
But I believe I've stopped that. I've left that behind.
Mm-hmm.
And calling my first name.
Yeah.
It's hard, but you can do it. People can do it. Yeah. So now, no matter how hard it is, people mm-hmm. do call me.
That's good.
Yeah.
And does it agitate you if they mispronounce your name?
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
People call me so many names. I'm like, yeah, okay, call me. As soon as I know you're calling me, I'm good. Nobody else has to know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm good. But yeah, I've stopped that makeup names and everything.
Yeah.
This is my first name. You mispronounce it. It's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell us about your short film.
Mm-hmm.
And where can people watch it? Is it live yet for everyone?
It is not live. My short film is about teenager and dealing with self-identity, having a self-identity crisis. And it delves into a phase of a depression. So it is showing and showcasing a life within that world of teenager dealing with self-identity and depression. So it is not available as of right now. I'm trying to submit to as many festivals as possible. So festival runs started happening last month. So I'm going to be waiting minimum a year for it to be available just online, because I want to submit to as many festivals as possible. And if it is available online, festival disqualifies that short film. So for that reason, hopefully soon, if there is any Canadian screening, hopefully.
How was your experience so far in this?
Experience so far was good.
Yeah.
I was telling you that I don't want to be in front of camera.
Uh-huh.
I feel so self-conscious. But
you are not.
But you said it's going to be just you're talking to me and not in camera or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So I even forgot that camera is pointing at
me. See, this is my magic. So we're not doing second episode.
Whenever you give me the amount, how much you are paying me for second episode?
I'm taking it from Travis. So he's sending me invoice, I'm sending you. So once I get the money, I'll pay you back. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for inviting me. Had a wonderful experience. So.
Pleasure knowing you more. We barely talked. But yeah, talk to
my
name.
Just touch the surface.
Yes.
Leave a message for your viewers.
Yes.
For viewers, please sign up for the Ronit's podcast. It's going to be blooming all over the place, hopefully.
Let's see.
We're on YouTube. Give a quick outro for the viewers.
Thank you for watching. If you have watched so far, just wait for the next episode. It's going to be more fun.
You mean I am not fun?
No, oh, you are fun. Is there one more fun? What's in the next one? It's going to be more fun. It can be crazy, too. You never know. No, it's going to be one controversial episode.
Which cow?
Which is, I'm shooting it that way.